Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
As you know, we're here for the exemption request allowed in statute. We believe it's a win-win for the county and the trust to enter into an interlocal. I believe the intent is funding your youth employment program.
So we're back with the Escambia Children's Trust issue again. Remember, the Children's Trust is something we voted in to take property taxes and fund children's programs. But then we discovered a couple of years into this deal that, apparently some of the money from property taxes is supposed to be retained by the Community Redevelopment Agency in order to do improvement of the blighted areas. But it is common across the state for the county or the city that is supposed to get those CRA monies back from the Escambia Children's Trust to enter into what's called an interlocal agreement, where they use that money to do something the Children's Trust can do, but to do it specifically in those areas. It's very common. Here in Escambia County, we have managed to completely muck this up and not managed to come to any really good agreement about it. By the way, the city's doing fine. Like, D.C. Reeves is talking in his press conference yesterday. I don't know why this is hard. You know, we're just doing something that's good for the kids and everybody's happy and it's not such a big deal. Meanwhile, in the county, Mike Kohler, County Commission Chairman, a friend who I like and respect and think is a good guy, but I think he could not be more wrong about this issue. And he is just like teeth dug in, like he's got lockjaw on this perspective that it's war with the Escambia Children's Trust.
At the last meeting, we were told that the Children's Trust was going to have our topic on their agenda. I pulled your agenda, wasn't on there. Nothing about what we talked about last time. So that was a little bit discouraging for me, because that's what you said you were going to do.
Well, they did. We'll get to that in a second. Second argument, this is his first pass after he's had a little bit of testimony from the chairman of the board and also from Meredith Bush, that's the attorney for them, and by Lindsay Cannon, she's the executive director. And he's just on fire. Like, you guys have done everything wrong and haven't done what you said you're supposed to do.
And your Children's Trust, you said you were going, all your money was encumbered. This is on your website on the first page. If you go to paragraph 2, you have $2.2 million. It's not. That's your data, not mine.
Okay, again, we'll get to why he's wrong about that in a second. And then the third big point.
The sheriff has made it very clear to me that he unequivocally supports this money going to CRAs. Last week at the first responders, we talked about it. I asked him today at the sheriff's memorial if I could use his own words, and he said, absolutely, Mike. So the sheriff would like to see this to go for public safety.
Oh, man, that's not accurate. I'll explain more in a moment. Let's fourth point.
The math is 1.9% of your budget. You've funded, on your own data, not mine, historically, the Pensacola CRA for $561,209, that was on your March 25th. You also funded parks and recs in 2023. And I am confused on why you won't support Escambia County in a more positive way.
Oh, they will, but they can only do it through services. That does not cover cameras and sidewalks and lighting the way you want in your area. Okay. 1.9%, he keeps coming back to this nonsense argument that it's only a tiny little slice of their budget. It's only $500,000 or so a year out of a $10 million budget. He keeps getting the numbers wrong. He keeps saying $25 million. Well, that's been like their operational total for the last couple of years. And also, again, my premise on this is if street cameras or if sidewalks or if lighting are a good thing, then the county ought to do it out of their own money because that's what county funds are there for. They're supposed to be there for this exact purpose. He doesn't have to go pillaging the services for kids fund that the Escambia Children's Trust is supposed to be. And this is just not hard. He just keeps making it really, really hard. And also, you know, again, if it's a matter of slice of budget, it's actually 5% of their annual revenue, $500,000 out of $10 million, $500,000 out of the Escambia budget of $800 million. It's a much easier lift. And you literally have local option sales tax money that you can spend exactly on this thing. Okay, about the question of what you said, all the money has been encumbered, and here you are sitting with $2.5 million unencumbered, according to your webpage, Lindsay Cannon explains.
So you're pulling things off our website, which is great. Since we have met last, we've had our updated financials that were presented at our meeting already this week. So what you're seeing is newly encumbered dollar or unencumbered dollars that are being recaptured from contracts that are not being spent down. So that is a rolling number. So what we do as a board is meet and determine what we're going to do based on data or needs with those dollars. So it's always going to be a new pot if the providers that we currently have encumbered with contract are not spending down.
So when I told you at the prior meeting a month ago that it was all encumbered, it was, but we've had new money come back in because it wasn't spent, and so that's why you see on the website. I wasn't lying to you, sir. The numbers are continuously changing because we're constantly updating them to enhance transparency. So you just understand that. As far as being on the agenda, no, it was on the agenda. You just didn't see it.
So do you not have any intention to pay the 22 and 23, even though you put in there? What's your intention?
We would need to meet as a board. They already voted last year.
Well, you met yesterday. Remember, and you told you put on the agenda and you didn't. So what's the intention?
We put it under the legal report, and we had all the conversation there. No one made a motion to change that vote.
Who put your agenda together?
Ms. Alma.
So she didn't know that you told us at the last meeting you'd put on your agenda for yesterday?
Yeah, it was, and it was presented. It's under legal.
She literally just said that, but you didn't hear her.
Oh, I didn't see it on that.
Yeah, okay. It's legal. So Meredith presents during that. She has a standing agenda item where we discuss anything legal that's come up.
All right.
So,
Mr.
Hoffer. So we had discussion about it.
So remember,
it.
He started off angry it wasn't on the agenda. He was wrong about that. He started off angry saying the unencumbered thing. He was wrong about that. The whole business about the percentage of funding, he's misunderstanding the math on that. And then the question is, where's the sheriff at? We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we're starting to see some delays there, about a 5 to 7 minute delay through the construction congestion zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the conversation, the Escambia County Commission meeting over whether to grant an exemption to the Escambia Children's Trust for the about $500,000 a year that out of their $10 million budget that is entitled to go to the CRA, the Community Redevelopment Agency, the blighted areas, in order to make them better. But it is common, the most common practice in the state is to enter into an agreement with the Escambia Children's Trust or the other county children's trust to fund services. And Escambia County just can't figure this out. And there's a couple of other issues worth knowing. One is they have their first 2 years of this, they're not paying. They have not paid. And they think that because it took the county too long to figure this out, it's too late to pay it. But they have the threat of a lawsuit. They might try to get that money. And so they can't spend it either. So it's just sitting there. It's like $800,000 or $900,000, something like that. There's also the current year that they paid last year. Last year went to cameras, okay, in Montclair. That was about $450,000. This year, that's the question on hand. And the proposal had been, let's fund the summer youth employment program at the county, something that Lumen May is a big advocate of, typically employs a lot of minority kids. But this is something that serves children, gives them something to do in the summer, gives them money. And that had been the plan all along. But Mike wants to use it for sidewalks and parks and lighting and cameras, which is infrastructure, which they cannot spend the money on. But they could spend the money on it if they do it through the CRA. Okay, so, I mean, it's a lot of facts to keep track of here. So as far as the sheriff goes, you know, basically Mike's point is the sheriff is totally on our side on this.
We agreed, or at least on our side, that we clearly have state statute on our side that we can use this. You guys disagree, but we agree with that. Other counties in the state use it. So the state statute's wrong. The sheriff's wrong. The board that voted 5-0 is wrong. We want 1.9% to help the lowest income communities in Escambia County, and you continue to want to push back and fight us. I don't understand this. I don't know why I'm in this conversation. I voted for the Children's Trust. I never in my life thought I'd be fighting for low-income kids for dimes. It's unbelievable to me.
If it's dimes to them, it's pennies to you, sir, based on your budget. And they also are helping low-income kids. But he's so stuck on this idea that the Children's Trust money needs to go to help make parks better in his poor areas. He's just so fixated on that. Remember, I played a clip last time. I don't know if you were listening, but I think part of the explanation is that Mike Kohler, as a kid, had access to parks. And he's a nurse, you know, medical, so he believes in play as a good thing. And he, I think in his mind, to not spend this money on, for example, parks or lighting is like betraying little Mikey Kohler. I think in his mind, that's what's going on. And I'm not disparaging. I'm saying that's so viscerally important to him that giving up on that is like abandoning young him who needed the park to go to. And nobody disputes that parks are important or the lighting's important or that security cameras are important. But that money is available through the Escambia County regular budget or the local option sales tax budget. They don't have to take it from the Children's Trust. So as far as the sheriff, I do not think he's characterizing the sheriff's view accurately. I think the sheriff believes in cameras and lighting and sidewalks. We all do, because those are all crucial things to public safety. I don't think the sheriff cares where the money comes from. I think the sheriff just thinks, you know, if you ask the sheriff, do you want more lights? Yes. Do you want more cameras? Yes. Do you want more sidewalks? Yes. Does it need to come from the Children's Trust? Well, that's for y'all to figure out. You know? So making him like the blame guy for why he wants to do this is inappropriate, frankly. And then the chair of the board, Dr. Rex Northrup, gets up there. He's a pediatrician.
ECT has an obligation to the children in the county, first of all. We are not attempting to be oppositional, trying to be at all disrespectful to any members of this committee, to the adults of the area or whatever. We got our orders, and that is what we take on very seriously. Other members of the board include, in addition to Commissioner May, the directors of the school board. We've got the judge.
Dr. Northrup, I appreciate it, but I didn't ask you to come back up.
Okay.
We listened to you. I appreciate your comments, but we're not there right now. You had your chance to speak. We heard it. Thank you.
You were asking questions.
I was asking Lindsay a question.
Oh, no. Just, again, I'm saying this as a friend. I like Mike. Mike's an honest man, okay?
We are talking nickels out of a $25 million budget, and you'd rather fight the Board of County Commissioners, the sheriff, deny the statute, and I just don't understand it. And you paid last year because you admitted that it was right.
No.
So you just paid for no reason?
That's the money that went to the cameras.
We did pay last year, and the entirety of it went to infrastructure.
Madam Attorney, they paid last year, correct?
They paid for the 2023 tax year in full. This is for the 2024 tax year. They have not paid any.
Right. So you paid the last year's to the county.
The entirety of that money went to infrastructure, which is not what the citizens voted on when they voted.
I voted for it, and I can tell you, I voted for a whole different approach. And so when you say the citizens didn't vote, I voted for the trust fund. So you can't speak for every citizen in Escambia County. You can't. You can only speak for what you believe. I believe differently. I believe in public safety. So you can't say the citizens voted for that. The statute says we're entitled to it. The sheriff thinks we're entitled to it. Our attorneys think that we're entitled to it. You've paid it. I'm not making facts up. I didn't come to fight the ECT.
Makes my eye twitch every time he mentions the sheriff in this context, because, you know, I think he's mischaracterizing the sheriff's position on this. But Rex is right. This is not for infrastructure. And making it go to cameras last year was maybe legally allowed, but was not the reason people voted for it. If Mike thinks he voted for the Escambia Children's Trust to exist for streetlights and sidewalks, like, I never heard that presented. It was always programs for kids to help them to have success in school. Programs for kids to help them to have success in school. Do they need lights and sidewalks? And yes! But the budget for Escambia County is $800 million. You can do that! You don't need the Children's Trust money for it!
It was not you who led the charge for using those CRA dollars for lights and cameras. It was myself and Chip.
I know.
It was myself and Chip Simmons. And we did this because children had to lay down at Montclair Elementary School because there were shootings in the parks. And the sheriff said, I can't patrol it. I need cameras. I need lights. And I need all those type of things. It was not funded by the sheriff. And, you know, we found CRA dollars and we paid for it. I mean, we got cameras over into Montclair, and so.
And by the way, I think there is an open question about whether it was lawful to use that money entirely in one CRA, because as came up later in the conversation, Stephen Hall, the budget director, explained that if the county recoups the money from the Escambia Children's Trust for the CRA, it has to get split up by share into all the different CRAs, because the CRAs are not a thing; they're a bunch of little things. And so I'm not even sure that it was allowable to use it all in the one area. You know, each one gets its own share based on the property taxes of that particular CRA. But the good news out of all this drama, by the way, there's more drama on this. I'll cover it later on in the show. But the good news about all this is, in the end, I think they landed on the place where the Children's Trust is willing to go, which is the first 2 years that have never been paid are going to, if the board agrees, okay, the Children's Trust is going to pay for summer youth employment with those 2 years and the current year, and then one more year in the future so I don't have to go through this again in December. And I think the Children's Trust will go for that. If they will not, then the board is going to take the money back to the CRA and they're going to use it for sidewalks and cameras and streetlights. And Mike Kohler is furious about that outcome, but I think that's what's going to happen. 625 here on News Radio 92.3, informative. Well, he voted for it, but that's not what he would prefer. He's actually hoping they say no so that they can take the money and use it for what he wants it for. Lumen wants it for the jobs program. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. If you're on 98 eastbound just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay due to congestion, but there's no accidents to report this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
The cost of health care is in the news. Tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest and we'll be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as the 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds they now offer. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and the cost of health care. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
A preemptive shh. Just know I have a whole bag of shh with your name on it.
I would be surprised if there's a person in the audience that knows this song, but I love it. It's by a band named Icicle Works that was big in the 80s. And Whisper to a Scream is their famous song, which is not nearly famous enough, but I just love a song. I'm going to play it. 628 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's see. I did traffic already. Let's go to David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Moody's is downgrading the long-term ratings for JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo. That announcement on Monday came after the ratings agency also downgraded the U.S. government over its growing $35 trillion in debt. Nothing, right?
Whatever.
Yeah. The U.S. military has completed a successful test launch of an unarmed nuclear missile from northern Santa Barbara County, California. The launch of the Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missile took place from the Vandenberg Space Force Base. Military officials say it was routine and scheduled years in advance.
It's like firing off an old bottle rocket you've had since you were a kid. Just right. Gotta make sure it still works. Sure enough.
And Five of the 10 escaped inmates from New Orleans have now been recaptured. Louisiana State Police say Corey Boyd was taken into custody last night. Earlier in the day, a maintenance worker at the jail was arrested for helping those inmates escape.
Yeah, the janitor, according to the charges, the janitor turned off the water to the toilet so that they could remove the toilet. According to the janitor, they threatened him. And so he turned off the water to the toilet. So, you know, not clear. But remember the, was it the governor? The mayor? I forget who it originally had said they suspected there would have been collaboration. There was also a couple of other people that worked on that shift that were put on leave. They haven't been arrested or charged or anything like that. So, yeah, at least half of them are back in custody now. And the other half are, you know, I guess, what, out shopping for belts. So, or different clothes or, you know, something. We'll be back in just a minute.
Foster. The House Rules Committee has been working overnight into the morning on the Republicans' so-called One Big Beautiful Tax and Spending Cut bill.
What the hell are you so scared of that you guys are holding this hearing at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Massachusetts Democrat Jim McGovern, White House Economic Advisor Stephen Moran.
It'll create about 7 million new jobs, and it'll boost take-home pay for a typical family of four, take-home pay by about $8,000 to $13,000, right? So these are very significant growth effects, and that's why it's so critical that we get this bill over the line.
There's a tentative agreement to raise deductions on state and local taxes. President Trump meets with South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa today at the White House. And former President Biden's office says his last prostate cancer screening was in 2014, refuting allegations that he covered up his prostate cancer diagnosis when he was president. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 79 degrees, and we've got clear skies this morning. Four suspects have been arrested in connection with a violent robbery during a Facebook Marketplace transaction in Pensacola. Police say that happened Tuesday at about 1:30 p.m. 20-year-old Deshaun Simpkins and 18-year-old Terrence Mobley faced charges of robbery and resisting without violence. 19-year-old Curtis Dale facing a similar charge. 22-year-old Asante Mason was a passenger in a suspect vehicle. He's charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Police say the suspects attacked the victim when he arrived to buy a cell phone, stole his belongings. Those items were recovered. Authorities, though, still searching for the driver of that suspect vehicle that they say was involved in the robbery. Well, former Okaloosa County Deputy Eddie Duran will have to remain in Northwest Florida as the legal proceedings related to the fatal shooting of senior airman Roger Fortson continue. A hearing was held yesterday in that case. The courtroom was filled with Fortson's family. They want Duran to remain in Northwest Florida as those proceedings continue. Duran's attorneys were asking for permission for him to travel for family and deployment reasons. Family members have now identified the victim in the fatal shooting on Citrus Street earlier this week as Doug White. A memorial display of balloons, flowers, and candles are set up where he was gunned down Monday morning.
Yeah, we're working it as a homicide. There was a male found off of Citrus with gunshot wounds.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, he says investigators remain focused on finding the suspect in that case. He told Pensacola's Morning News many of the detectives had to be pulled from another active investigation on Monday morning. Santa Rosa County Commissioners looking at a possible property tax increase to fund road improvements. This is one of two tax-related items set to be discussed this week.
We're in the infancy stages of this, so the board has to have that budget meet to decide if that's what they want. But we will give them the scenarios so that they can make an informed decision about how they want to fund the future improvements in Santa Rosa County.
County Administrator Brad Baker, he says a proposal is to increase the tax rate by $1 million, which would equate to roughly $16 million. He says that's a way to fund road improvements after the half-cent local option sales tax was rejected last fall. Another tax item would utilize an MSTU for law enforcement. Other taxes would be adjusted in that case, so it wouldn't result in an increase. Well, in Atmore, a big development in a recent shooting case there, five people are now charged with attempted murder. Officials say three 17-year-old juveniles and two adults were involved in the incident that happened on May 7th. at North Main and Howard Streets in Atmore, where a passing vehicle and a restaurant were hit by bullets. Now, luckily, nobody was injured in that shooting. Investigators say they recovered 47 shell casings at the scene. All five suspects face attempted murder charges. Officials identified the two adult suspects as 18-year-old Dester Adams and 21-year-old Raheem Banks. The 17-year-old suspects were charged as adults but have not been identified. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barbary Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly still. Not seeing any delays on 29 or 9 Mile or even Highway 90. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast.
There will be a 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. On Friday, nice sunny weather with a high near 88. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 79 degrees, looking like a beautiful morning. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields ticked higher this morning as investors closely monitored discussions on the budget bill and federal deficit. The 30-year Treasury yield was up by over 4 basis points at 5.016%. The 10-year yield was more than 4 basis points higher at 4.528%. Target missed first quarter revenue estimates as transactions fell, and the retailer cut its full-year sales outlook. Target has been struggling to return to growth for years and created a new office to try and accelerate its turnaround. The company blamed falling consumer sentiment, uncertainty about tariffs, and backlash to its rollback of DEI initiatives for its performance. Lowe's has reaffirmed its full-year forecast, which puts the retailer on track for year-over-year sales growth. The company beat Wall Street's quarterly earnings expectations but came in just shy of revenue estimates. Futures are moderately lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 114. That's your money now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Get ready, Pensacola. It's the hottest ticket of the season. Pensacola Cigar Weekend is coming May 29th through June 1st at the stunning Court of DeLuna. Cigars, cocktails, DJs, live bands, dancing, and unforgettable vibes all weekend long. Meet new people, vibe out, and celebrate the good life in style. Tickets are flying. Grab yours now at PensacolaCigarWeekend.com. Pensacola Cigar Weekend. Light it, live it, love it.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community and is always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com. or follow Escambia Health Department on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Healthy Escambia.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Focus on Human Error says that Vision Zero recognizes that people make mistakes, and therefore roads should be designed to accommodate errors without result in severe harm. And the approach emphasis shifts from prioritizing efficiency to prioritizing safety in road design and infrastructure.
All right. I am eager to have this conversation. I am also very apprehensive about having this conversation because I think I'm right, but I know I'm going to look like a bad guy. So here goes. That's Frankie Pesci, who is the organization. You know, I did not write it down. Who was that person with? Anyway, speaking at the city council meeting, Pensacola City Council meeting, and talking about Vision Zero. If you do not remember, Vision Zero is the idea that we ought to try to reduce all traffic-related fatalities to zero. Something which seems on the surface like an obvious no-brainer goal. We don't want pedestrians dying. We don't want bicyclists dying. We don't want we want everybody to live, okay? And what you heard him say there is, first of all, that a focus in road design, people make mistakes. Well, mistakes shouldn't kill people. If we can have a built-in idea that a mistake when driving wouldn't automatically put pedestrians, for example, in jeopardy, in principle, that sounds fine. Okay, a shift from emphasizing efficiency to emphasizing safety as an emphasis. Also, I don't dispute that, but that's not the reason. But let me finish his comments a little bit and then we'll get to some other stuff.
And it's data driven. Vision Zero plan often relies on data analysis to identify areas with high collision rates and implement targeted interventions.
Interventions means a changing of the roadway, putting in of a road diet, lowering the speed limit, putting in speed bumps, speed humps, something or other, pedestrian dedicated lanes, barriers between the, all of that. That's intervention is a nice way of saying interfering with the traffic. And sometimes interfering with the traffic is fine. But again, that's, in my mind, not the whole story here.
So zero deaths and serious injuries is the only reasonable goal for our local roadways, and setting this goal would help the city focus its efforts on traffic calming and better facilities for walking, running, and bicycling.
Okay, and so in amongst the folks who came to talk to the city council about this included, and this is an awful story, do you remember the young boy who was skateboarding downtown and got killed? Okay, his dad came to talk about this and talked about how the only reasonable goal is to have zero deaths. Like, that's the right thing because of this horrible tragedy that happened to his family.
2 years ago, the worst thing you can think, my son, some of you guys know the story, I won't go into deep detail, but I was skating 3 blocks from our house and was hit by a car and passed away. What can we do to keep that from happening to others? I got involved with Vision Zero about a year and a half ago and did some work with them and trying to make this happen in Pensacola.
Yeah, because, I mean, if something like that happens to your child, what else can you do but try to see if you can't protect somebody else's kid or their family from having to endure the same thing? That's a very understandable response to a tragedy, right?
You know, you think about what's the hardest thing about losing a child and the memories or, you know, what's bad about it. On my phone, I've got tons of pictures, tons of videos. To me, what haunts me is... he'd be 13 today. What would he be like? What would he be like as he grows up? What kind of man would he become? And we won't see that. And I want to do what I can to help the community and others so they don't go through the same thing that I went through. Vision zero, I mean, why shouldn't we shoot for zero? I mean, that's a hard number.
So remember at the beginning I said, I have a position, I'm pretty convinced that I'm right about this position, but it's going to make me out to be the bad guy? How do you sit there on the city council and look a dad who's lost a son in the eye and say, I totally understand where you're coming from, I agree with your concern, but I can't support this policy, and here's why? That is a hard thing to do, and none of the city council members did that. They all are on board with this. Jen Brayer?
Kind of interesting, but we already embark on Vision Zero in a number of ways. Chief Crainer's back there, and she aspires every Christmas for a Vision Zero of house fires associated with trees. My discretionary funding tonight went to an organization that is aspiring to a Vision Zero of opiate overdoses.
In other words, we already have aspirational goals for public policy relating to house fires, relating to opioid use.
We often recognize that we might not be able to get there, but not aspiring to get there is pretty troublesome. So I just thought that Mr. Stark said, you know, it's kind of lofty and why Vision Zero? We do it all the time. That is what we do. Is we aim towards the best possible scenarios.
And why wouldn't you aim at something so noble? Allison Patton?
So I don't know how you don't support getting to zero traffic fatalities and serious injuries. Seems pretty straightforward. I don't like setting goals that I don't meet. that's usually not my personality. But, you know, I certainly am going to support it.
So, Andrew, what's wrong with you? Are you not on board? I'm not on board. I'll tell you why in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free this morning, and also looks like delay-free. I-10, I-110 are all looking good, even 98. Going through Navarre is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic at this. They sold 165 homes last year, 175 the year before that, over 200 when the market was easy and hot and they were getting, you know, multiple cash offers, kind of like same day sort of thing, like how fast can you get the offer? It's not as easy as that, and that's when you really need a good realtor, somebody who can figure out how to maximize your profit or maximize your savings, can really get the job done, get you all the way through to closing, because, you know, it's a different environment these days. She can answer your questions. Does this make sense? Can I afford this? What's the market going to do in the future? Is there going to be a development behind this house that I'm not planning for? Like, just all the stuff, okay? She's really, really smart about this, even if it's a difficult scenario, like you're dealing with a divorce or you're dealing with an estate sale. I mean, these are things that are complicated. She and her team at Leavenworth Realty are just very good at all these things. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. So back to the conversation about this Vision Zero thing, which the Pensacola City Council did endorse 7-0. Andrew, what's wrong with you? How do you not support this? Well, okay, sometimes an idea can sound really good, but the question is, what does it entail to be committed to it? What would it take to make a world where that's going to happen? And I think you should look at what Vision Zero actually says. It was in the backup. Good. Okay. Vision Zero include, this is the summary from the Pensacola City Council backup. Vision Zero includes the concept that traffic deaths and serious injuries on our roadways are avoidable and unacceptable. It is a holistic strategy aimed at eliminating all traffic fatalities and severe injuries suffered by all road users while increasing safe, healthy, equitable mobility for all. City Council accepted Pensacola's Act Transportation Plan in 2023 with the plan calling for Pensacola to adopt a Vision Zero policy. So this is already policy to a degree. For the past century, streets and transportation systems have been designed primarily to move cars efficiently. And Vision Zero supports a paradigm shift by designing streets and transportation systems to move all people safely, including people of all ages and abilities, pedestrians, bicyclists, public transit users, scooter riders, motorcyclists, as well as drivers and passengers of motor vehicles. Vision Zero recognizes that people will sometimes make mistakes, so the road system and related policies should be designed to ensure that those inevitable mistakes do not result in severe injuries or fatalities. Therefore, transportation planners and engineers and policymakers are expected to improve the roadway environment, policies, and other related systems to lessen the severity of crashes. There's two more paragraphs. Pensacola's transportation infrastructure serves an increasing number of vulnerable road users, such as pedestrians and bicyclists. Recognizing that speed is a major determining factor of survival in a crash, Pensacola is working toward reducing vehicle speeds to help improve the likelihood of a pedestrian or cyclist surviving a crash. Making streets safer for all people using all modes of transportation will encourage people to travel on foot, by bicycle, and by public transit, which supports a healthier, more active lifestyle and reduces environmental pollution. Successful Vision Zero programs are a result of both a complete government approach and community support of Vision Zero objectives and action plans. It will be the intent to meet Vision Zero goals by implementing educational, engineering, and enforcement strategies developed by the city of Pensacola. Let me repeat that. Educational, teach me how to behave differently. Engineering, design roads so that I can't behave badly. And enforcement, and punish me if I don't comply. Strategies developed by the city of Pensacola. With the adoption of this resolution, Pensacola adopts the goal of eliminating traffic deaths and serious injuries by 2035, 10 years, and endorses Vision Zero as a comprehensive and holistic approach to achieving this goal. Why would I be opposed? We can do Vision Zero tomorrow. We can. It's really not complicated. You know how you do Vision Zero tomorrow? I can tell you. You set every speed limit on every road at 20 miles an hour. Well, Andrew, people will still break it. And you put speed tables on every single road, like 20,000 of them in the city, so that you can't drive faster than 20 miles an hour. Well, Andrew, people, and you put speed regulators on every single car so that it can't go more than 20 miles an hour. Done. Nobody will die. Right? Every single car, just make it so it can't go more than 20 miles an hour. Every single road, every single speed bump. Make it so you can't drive fast. Because they're right. Speed kills. What's the cost of doing that? And I don't mean like the cost of speed bumps at $5,000 a piece. I don't mean that. I mean, what's the cost to society? What's the cost to freedom of movement? What's the cost to efficiency of arrival? What's the cost across the board of choosing to live in a place where we have so fully inhibited driving that everybody either can't drive well or hates to drive? Everybody is pained out of their car onto a bike, onto a scooter, onto walking. You could do it. And why don't we do it? Because we're not willing to embrace all of that cost. Now, you listen, if the society says, you know what, we need to, I need to get to work. Yeah, but you know, I don't need to get there in 20 minutes. I can afford to get there in 45 minutes. We could all embrace the inconvenience of driving 20 miles an hour everywhere we go. John would have no more things to report because there'd be no traffic accidents. There'd be no clogs. Everybody on I-10 would be going 20 miles an hour, and it would take you 13 days to get to Orlando, but nobody would die. When you set one value, one goal as the unassailable single objective of a public policy, you can do it at a cost. And I don't believe that we're willing to embrace that cost, nor do I think we should. You say, Andrew, how can you talk on the radio about accepting a world in which people die in traffic accidents or in pedestrian collisions or in bicycles or whatever? I raised three boys. Any of my three boys might at any time engage in a behavior that would result in them dying. It is a horrible thing to imagine. But I don't want a world where there's no risk. My oldest just bought a Miata that he wants to go driving and having fun. Good. I might get a call that he died in a traffic crash. Horrid. But I like a world where he's free to drive. You go to a playground, you swing on a swing. A kid jumps off the swing. How many kids jump off of swings? 100% of them. You know what happens sometimes when you jump off a swing? Kid breaks a leg. Terrible. Or worse. You know, could hit his head. Should they wear helmets when they're swinging on the swings? Should we put little fuzzy ball pits down beneath all of the swing sets so that nobody can get hurt? No, I want a world with risk because the world is risky. I want a world, I mean, the world is in some ways unfixable and dangerous. And I actually think that in some ways it's that danger, the thrill, the risk, the scare, the adventure that makes it worth living. I don't want a world where we're all walking around in our giant bubble balls and nobody can get hurt. As a byproduct of that, it's entirely possible that Andrew McKay gets a call in the middle of the night. We've got some bad news for you about your child. But a world where there's no risk is not a goal. Now, do I agree with the general principle of making it so that people are safer on the roads? Sure. But zero cannot be achieved without massive costs, losses, change in the structure of society. And you hear it in there that what they want to do is they want to destroy the car, eliminate the car, remove the car. I don't know. I like America. We have big cars. We have big engines. We waste gas. We drive. It's mobility. It's fun. It's adventure. It's whatever you want to call it. This seems like a, and I'm paraphrasing what some other people have presented, this seems like a European socialist anti-car mindset. And I understand. And some of these people are some of the biggest advocates of this. Jared Jacquet is a good friend. He just wrote a big op-ed in the Pensacola News Journal. I disagree. Christian Wagley, he's a good friend. He's been writing about this for years. And good friend, I disagree. And I hate to be the guy who stands up and says, you know, Vision 8, you know, 8 deaths is acceptable. But acceptable is a strong word. I'm not willing to do everything we could possibly do to prevent deaths, because I think that massively changes society and the values of the world we live in. But that's my argument against Vision Zero. That's why I wouldn't have voted for it. And it's hard to say that to somebody telling personal tragedies. But it's also why personal tragedies are not the basis of all the factors that go into good legislation. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, and 98 are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Gun Show this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today.
at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
659 News Radio 92.3. No time to get into all of these texts on this subject of Vision Zero, but the short version is that people recognize that there's a trade-off. And saying we're committed to doing everything it takes to eliminate all deaths carries a cost that I think none of us are really, really willing to incur. We'll talk more about this coming up later on in the show, so stick around.